Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Believe in Florida Football. I'm your host, Zach Goodall. I'm taking a quick little break here with my pal Demetrius Harvey from listening to the album of the year that was just released the night before we recorded this. That being Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. But I'm excited to be here regardless, talking about Florida football. A lot of recruiting talk ahead of us today. With that being said, Demetrius, say what's up to the people. I'm sure you're as excited as ever to talk about recruits. I know it's your favorite subject.
Absolutely. If you know me and you get to know me, you know that recruiting is my favorite time of the year. I just love to be able to talk to these kids and, you know, be able to get the interviews and talk about, you know, what they're going to actually do within the next several months. And just, you know, nothing's ever repetitive. It's all the same, you know, good stuff. And I love it. No, but seriously, I'm really happy to be back and talking to you guys. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you listen to the podcast last week. I know that we're doing this one a little bit late, but we just had so much stuff come up and everything. So we'll, you know, try to get into more of a groove moving forward, but you know, hey, we're here.
Yeah. Some of that stuff that came up is actually a topic for today's podcast that we'll get into a little bit later. I know we have some kind of old news at this point to cover, but regardless, we're going to cover it. And that's being the two commitments to Florida last weekend in wide receiver Creed Whittemore, as well as offensive lineman Najee Harris out of IMG Academy, another IMG pool for Billy Napier. We're excited to break those down. But first, a word from our sponsors. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the NBA, NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, fights, even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so go ahead over to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code BLEAV. That's B-L-E-A-V. And you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that promo code is BLEAV. Bet online, where the game starts. Demetrius, let's get this thing rolling. Let's talk about these commitments from last weekend. We had a lot of content over at allgators.com where we do all of our written work, part of Sports Illustrated Fan Nation, with interviews from Creed Whittemore that we got through our writer CJ Clark. Knocked that interview out of the park. It's real nice. Lengthy. If you've not gotten to see it yet, it's worth checking out. Goes into the whole appeal, you know, of him coming to the same university where his brother is a wide receiver right now, growing up 10 minutes down the street, watching Gator games as a kid, crying over Gator games as a kid, he even admitted to Connor. What he wants to do on the field, off the field, in the community here, definitely worth checking out. So let's start with him, Demetrius. Yep. I think by the time he was about to commit, I think everyone knew that he was going to end up being a Gator. But UCF was in this, as well as Clemson and a lot of other schools. But really, it seemed like Florida, Clemson, and UCF were the big three at one point. He's got a lot of ties. You know, obviously, Trent's here at Florida. His mother also played volleyball, I believe, at Florida in the 90s.
Yes, correct. Yep.
And his dad, who's also the coach at Buchholz, where he plays right now, played wide receiver for UCF in the 90s as well. So he had legitimate ties both places. And then, of course, there's Clemson. You know, can't really deny the appeal of that. Well, I mean, I guess you can right now.
Depends on who you are. Yep.
Yeah, it depends on who you ask. But you know, national championship winning program from outside of the state, you know, he's got to hear that out. But at the end, I think we all knew that Florida was going to end up getting this guy. And overall, what do you think he brings to the table. What do you think of his addition to the class?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good get for Billy Napier and his staff, because it's a local kid, first of all, which you always want to try to get the local guys if they're good, or, you know, whatever it may be. You always want to try to target those guys, because those are the ones who are going to end up being able to give you that pipeline. It's the easiest ones for you to just travel, you know, right down the road and see. And this Creed Whittemore guy, I mean, the thing is, he can't be more different, in my opinion, than his brother Trent in terms of his the size makeup and the talent. It's whatever, but in terms of being able to use him in a different way, Trent's a big guy. He's obviously going to be, you know, over the middle, more of a possession receiver, jump up, you know, going to go get it. We've seen that out of him the past couple years. Creed, on the other hand, is more of a shifty guy. And obviously we haven't been able to see him much during high school in terms of playing that receiver position, because he's a quarterback. But, you know, you can kind of project that. You can see how he's shifty, he's quick, he's fast, he's, you know, fluid, and he's a little bit smaller than Trent, obviously. So it's going to be interesting to see how they use him. I think that it's a really good get. They don't have the guys, you know, in that, we talk about this a lot, you know, able to be, you know, fast in space, quick in space. And while they have guys that can, you know, get the ball and run up the field like a Justin Shorter on the outside and screens and things like that, they haven't had that guy over the middle of the field to be able to, you know, sort of break ankles, you know, or so, and then catch the ball and then sort of go like 40 yards down the field. I mean, that kind of guy is like a Kadarius Toney. And not to say that, you know, Creed's going to be Kadarius Toney, but at the same time, it's always good to get a guy with that sort of skill set. So, I mean, I think, Zach, you've talked about it before, but just in terms of being able to diversify that wide receiver room, it's just a great get.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is you need guys that can separate too. That's right. One of the things these guys are lacking. You know, they got the big bodies and solid speed. They can go up and get it. They can fight for contested catches. But one of those things that Kadarius Toney did so well was separate on specific routes. He became a great route runner, but even without great route running skills, he was able to find ways to separate from defenders. And UF does lack that at the time. Whereas Whittemore shiftiness certainly looks like he could be able to do that. You get the projection, and he's a fun quarterback to watch. You know, I don't think he's a quarterback at the next level. You could use him like they've used Trent in the past. Trent has thrown touchdown passes at the University of Florida. Like, it,
I think trick too. Plays.
Yeah, it's, you could get creative with him because he's got that type of experience, but the athleticism's there. The projection makes sense. Napier also has told him that they plan on using him as a punt returner when he gets here, and they don't really have a great punt returner at all right now. Didn't last season. Problem kind of seems unsolved. He could make an immediate impact right off the bat coming in and doing that as well, which they are – we're going to talk about this more later, but they're going to need freshmen to step in and make an immediate impact in next year's class for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't go two straight years. Now, I'm not saying that no freshman made an impact last year, but you can't go this many years without having a class that comes in and basically is the next step up. Like, you need to have guys that are able to come in and improve the team right away. And I think that, you know, they're on their way of doing that. They know what they sort of need. They know what they're going to have to, you know, get in the future. And they're sort of paving the way. Obviously, we don't know everything about it as of right now, because I mean, it's only, what, you know, May? You got to wait until at least around June. Me and Zach, I think we've talked about it before. You know, around August 1st is when you should start thinking about, hey, is this going to be a good recruiting class, or is this going to be a bad one? And I think that to be able to see it unfolding right now, I think it's gone pretty well. I think that, you know, so far they've been able to land a few key guys, nothing crazy, but, you know, you don't get those crazy guys until late June, you know, or early July, late July, those kind of months. So I'm excited to see, and you're right. I think that this class is going to be extremely important. I think that they're going to have to get a lot out of these guys, and that's just the nature of the business.
They landed another guy that, he may not step in and make an immediate impact, but I wouldn't be surprised if he could make an impact early in his career and become a dependable player. That is IMG Academy offensive lineman Najee Harris. He committed about an hour and a half before Creed did. He's been a starter his entire high school career, going into his third year starting at IMG Academy. Not many guys have done that. No, again, like, I'm not trying to make a comparison. Like, Demetrius wasn't trying to say Creed Whittemore is Kadarius Toney. Yeah. But Evan Neal, I'm pretty sure, is the last offensive lineman to have started 3 years at IMG Academy. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be fact-checked, but I'm pretty sure that is accurate.
I think you're right, and look what, you know, Evan Neal did. He went top five. So, I mean, clearly, obviously, Harris is going to come in here, and he's going to go top five. No, I'm just kidding.
Five or seven. I think it was seven. The Giants' second pick, right?
He did go seven. You're right.
Yeah, because they got tips. I just want to acknowledge that it was a great draft by the Giants in the first round.
I thought that was a fantastic use of their resources, but we're not a Giants podcast, so we won't talk about it too much. But no, you're right. It's the whole point you're trying to make now is that for him to come into IMG and start 3 years in a row, going into his fourth year now, it's a great.
No, this will be his third year, but he started his freshman year at his first high school before he transferred. So right. 4 year starter, regardless.
Three-year starter at IMG. It's a very fantastic way to show, you know, how good he is. I mean, how much, you know, they've invested in him, because this isn't a program. This isn't just a normal high school football team. This is pretty much, they base their entire school around the athletics department. I mean, it's almost like a college. It's better than a lot of colleges in terms of, like, maybe the D2, D3 schools. You know, this is something that's kind of crazy. And when you see the campus, I haven't been there personally, Zach has, but when you see the campus, it's extraordinary. So all that to say, this guy has a lot of pedigree. Obviously, he's highly trusted. And I think that this is something that's good for the Gators to get. We talked about it. I think we might have just mentioned it either in the article and then obviously on Twitter. This is only the second guy that they've gotten from IMG who has actually played at IMG since its inception. And that includes, you know, obviously Dan Mullen's tenure and McElwain's tenure. So it's pretty impressive for Billy Napier to come in here, obviously get, you know, Wilson, and now he's getting Harris, and it's just it's showing that the relationships between IMG and Florida, which is, you have to have that relationship, is growing. It's getting bigger, it's getting better, and I'm really interested to see, you know, how this shapes up moving forward, because if you can start landing guys from IMG, oh my goodness, like your recruiting classes are going to be fantastic.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the biggest keys moving forward for Napier, because that just, that type of talent is exactly what we saw them missing over the years, like the blue chippers, you know, and not every IMG kid's going to be a blue chipper, but they're going to come in with a great understanding, because, like, they've got very experienced coaches, like better than you'll find at a lot of high schoolers, teaching them technique, teaching them, you know, getting their bodies in the best shape ever. You're going to get at least high floor players that can come in and make an impact quickly. And Harris seems like that type. He can play guard. He can play center. I think he's 6'3", around 330. I saw him live. Not live. Yeah, no, I've seen him live in a game before. That was when I saw Kamari during his junior year, and Harris was a freshman starter. Good game. They okay. smacked Edgewater. But I also saw him recently at the IMG Under Armour camp. He's pretty athletic for his size. He moves well. He really seems to pick up on twist well, because they were doing that with drills, having guys twist and stunt through. High IQ type of guy. On film, he looks like a road grader. Looks like he'll fit the gap scheme that they're trying to install a bit more with the run game here at Florida. It's a good fit. And then, yeah, exactly what you said too. You know, you need to keep adding those IMG guys. He's a perfect start, and they're in it for several more IMG guys this cycle. So it's certainly going to be something to keep an eye on as we get down the stretch of the 2023 class. And speaking of getting down the stretch of the 2023 class, I think that would lead us into our next part, continued recruiting, some commit dates that we know are going to be happening over the summer. In fact, one big one, that is July 23rd, Orlando prospects or Orlando area. You've got Dr. Phillips, offensive tackle, Peyton Kirkland, Jones, edge rusher, linebacker, Malik Bryant, and then defensive lineman out of Osceola, Derek LeBlanc. They're all supposed to go on July 23rd. Brandon Carroll and I from All Gators were able to go down and check those guys out, as well as some of their teammates, over the past couple days. That is why we did not get this podcast out at our normal time. But I would say it was well worth it. We got to catch up with all those guys, see them in a practice setting, see what their skills are. They are talented. And another guy that's worth mentioning here right now, and I think that he's a priority for Florida. I don't know if he's like 1A necessarily at his position. I know LeBlanc is up there, although they play different positions, but is LeBlanc's teammate out of Osceola, John Walker. This guy is a stud. Got to see him in their scrimmage last night. LeBlanc wasn't playing with an injury. But Walker just feasted that entire game. So long story short, got to see a few high schools, got to catch up with these prospects. Demetrius, I know you've gotten to see a lot of their film too. What stands out to you about these guys before we get into some of the recruiting updates that we got from them?
Got you. Well, I'll just say this about John Walker, and we're going to talk about some updates with him, but just in terms of his size and athleticism, he stood out immediately. I think, you know, Zach put up some stuff on his Twitter page. You can check it out at Zach_Goodall. And it's incredible. I mean, a guy in high school that's able to, you know, be how much does he weigh? Like 310 or 315?
I think he's listed as 310. Yeah, I think he's probably 315, 320, sure. But he carries it like extremely well.
It's kind of crazy. It's they're just built different. I mean, that's all I can say is that nowadays they're just built different. And this guy was tearing through the offensive line, and it's not just normal drills. I think that Zach mentioned it earlier too. They're going at a very fast pace. So this guy has to line up quickly, get out from under the snap and get off the ball instantly. And he's having to do that repeatedly. Boom, 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 boom. And he was able to do it. And Zach can talk more about that in terms of what he brings, but being able to have a guy who can penetrate that quickly, that fast, that smoothly is going to bring so much to the table. And I think that somebody like LeBlanc as well, not the same exact position, probably. He's probably going to be more, you know, inside and outside. And he can do similar things in terms of pass rushing, getting off the ball, quick, agile. He's a little lighter. I think, what was he, like 270?
Yeah, 6'4", 270.
Sure. So in
very
and
long, so too.
He's a guy who can get off the edge, probably similar to Princely right now. And I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. I think you guys know exactly who I'm talking about. And he's going to be able to become that guy who can, you know, get off the edge, but also go inside on third downs. And then we already talked about Peyton Kirkland a little bit in the past, but, you know, he's obviously a guy that they're extremely interested in. And, you know, if they can get all of these kind of players, I'm not going to say they're going to get all four, and that includes Bryant, but if they can get all of these kind of players, I mean, just think about the type of class they can have. I mean, these are all not blue chippers per se, but they're all guys who can come in and make an impact right away, in my opinion. Now, we talked about Malik Bryant a little bit before, and I think, to me, he's sort of like a edge rusher, obviously, but at 6'1", it's a little tough for me to say that he can go and play that at all times. But if you put him out there as an off-ball linebacker and move him to edge, then all of a sudden you have a versatile playmaker who can make plays on both sides. I think he's listed at 6'2", but still, similar things where a little bit smaller, but a guy that can play both off-ball and on-ball, and it's just going to be interesting to see. I think that all of these guys that you guys talk to, from what I've seen, I haven't seen them in person either, but all these guys that you guys talk to are just, you know, interesting talents.
Yeah, I think that they're all major needs for Florida too. Yeah. I mean, I can start with Walker and LeBlanc. Yeah, LeBlanc, he's very long. I think that he's the type of guy you want to develop as a strong side end, but also, like, with that length, he can add weight and healthily play three tech on pass rushing downs. And whereas you'd want Walker at three tech on early downs, maybe even keep him there on pass rushing downs too, because he's a very capable pass rusher. He's got moves. He can swim. He can convert speed to power and vice versa. He can just win with power. Extremely strong. And like I said earlier, carries his weight extremely well. He's very muscular. And you could even move him to nose tackle. You could play him there full time if you wanted to, but I think he'd be best served as a pass rushing nose tackle on third down, in addition to normal down three tech. But that's the thing, is that, and I can't wait to watch them when LeBlanc is healthy, but go down and see how they complement each other. But just based off the skills you can see on tape, seeing camp, seeing practice settings, like, you see why it works. And I think that, you know, Florida's, they've got a lot of targets on the defensive line. It's a great class this year, especially in the state of Florida, but I would do all I can to get LeBlanc and Walker. They've got chemistry. They complement each other well, and I think they'd both fit the defense pretty perfectly. And they're guys that could play immediately. And like we were hinting at earlier, Florida needs players that can play pretty quickly, especially on the defensive line. I mean, that's what some that LeBlanc told me. They're basically telling him at his position that they'd want to start him at, there's one guy, and he probably won't be there by the time LeBlanc enrolls. That makes me think Jervon Dexter at three tech, but that could also mean Prince Liu Monmalin if he were to have a breakout year and declare, because again, I think that he might be a better fit at Princely's spot. But regardless, I mean, again, they need help in the trenches. We talked about that on the Transfer Portal podcast episode. They need help there, and I think both of these guys can come in and play very, very quickly. As for Brian, he's Oh, did you want to add something there?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, obviously they need these guys to come in and play right away. I mean, but you can see why. You can see, you know, how aggressive that they were trying to be, it appeared at least, on the transfer portal to try to fill these spots. They lost out on a couple guys already. They're still, you know, after a couple more, but you can tell that they're almost, I don't want to use the word desperate, but whatever word is a little bit better than that in terms of, they need these guys to come in. They need somebody to play right now. And so think about that next year when they do lose a guy like Dexter. You know, they might lose a guy like Princely. They might lose other guys to the transfer portal. All of a sudden, you're just completely, you know, SOL. And so now you have to have these guys come in and play right away.
Yeah, and the same thing could be said at offensive tackle with Peyton Kirkland.
Yep.
He has been starting since his freshman year, too, at Dr. Phillips. He's been there all 4 years. Extremely technical, great footwork, great hand usage. He knows what he's doing. I personally would want him down maybe to like 335 once he gets to Florida and is ready to play. But because of his technique, you get him there quickly. All of a sudden, you've got someone that can play maybe their freshman or redshirt freshman sophomore year. And they need that. Again, same type of deal, offensive line. They're losing Richard Garage after this season, I would imagine. This is his fifth year.
Yep.
So he'd be out after this. They don't have a left tackle of the future lined up, except for transfers that we know they're developing right now in Jordan Herman and Cameron Waits. But those guys, they might need some more time. And Kirkland, at worst, could come in and compete with them pretty quickly. I would love his fit. He really likes Florida as well. They've done a complete 180 in his recruitment because he I'll just leave it at this. I've had conversations with Peyton as well as people around the program and Peyton. Didn't love the last coaching staff. I mean, I think he's even made that pretty obvious in his interviews that he just was not a fan of Florida. They were not in it whatsoever when the last staff was here. Now they're a top five team. He's visited several times. They're in it. They're going to be a hat on the table come July 23rd. I like their chances quite a bit. I mean, I like them with I like them with Kirkland, and I like them with LeBlanc specifically because LeBlanc – I told him this on Thursday night. If I had a dollar for every time he visited Florida this spring, I'd be a rich man. And he agreed. Like I think it's been six or seven, like since Napier got hired. Yep. I like their chances with those guys specifically. I don't know if there's something you want to add on Kirkland before I move to Brian.
No, nothing I want to add on Kirkland. We'll talk about, you know, sort of more recruiting stuff a little bit later. I think you have, you know, some stuff that you and Brandon were able to get out of these guys, and I think that the listeners will be happy to hear about it.
Yeah, sure. I will hit their interviews just after Bryant, because Bryant's the next one that I'm a little more curious about. He seems to really like Florida. They're going to be another hat on the table. I think it'll end up coming down to being an Alabama, Florida, Miami race. My question is, and we talked about this before the pod, what does he fit best? Yeah. Is he an edge rusher? Again, at 6'1", like you were mentioning, 6'2", can he play edge rusher in the SEC? Is he an inside linebacker? You know, coaches go out and see guys during spring practices all the time. And when I was there to see Bryant the other day before I caught up with him, Jay Bateman was there, Florida's inside linebackers coach. And that made me think, okay, maybe he is going to get recruited as a Will that can blitz, also play off ball, drop into coverage, shoot gaps against the run, stuff like that. And but at the same time, I talked to Brian. He said one of the main guys he talks to is Mike Peterson, the outside linebackers coach. Now, we've heard Napier say it, I think, two or three times. When they go to recruiting, I guess analytically, the three things they look for: height, length, and verified speed. I can promise you Malik Bryant's got verified speed. That kid is a freak athlete. He's also extremely powerful for a little guy. Like, he if he were a 6'4", 240, 50-pound edge rusher, he would probably be a top 10 player in every recruiting ranking out there. Like, he's got it. But he doesn't have the length. He doesn't have the height that SEC edge rushers typically need. I mean, look at Brenton Cox. Lengthy, not overly lengthy, but lengthy enough, and he's 6'4". Yeah. So is that something that will be a drawback for Napier and his staff when it's all said and done? Do they put him at inside linebacker? Do they do, like you said, move him between inside and then down onto the edge in pass rushing packages? I'm not sure, but one thing I can promise you again is that just like the rest, he's got serious talent.
Absolutely. I think they have to, if they do bring him in, I think that they have to use his versatility. If you just put him out there on the edge, I mean, unless he's a Dwight Freeney, which we talked about, I promise you this is not going to look pretty. I mean, it just is the nature of the game. These guys are 6'7". I mean, look at the guy that Florida just got from the transfer portal, you know, a few months ago, Cameron Waits. He's 6'8". I mean, Evan Neal, who was just drafted, 6'7", almost, you know, it's they're massive human beings on the edge now at tackle in the SEC. So you go ahead and put a 6'1" guy out there. I mean, just see, you know, how much success he has. So I'm going to say, obviously, he can do that. But it's not on a consistent basis. I would say it can't be every single down. I think that they would have to put him off ball a little bit, have him go out in coverage, which, you like you mentioned, his speed is something that you need to use, because otherwise, you know, it's just not going to look pretty. So I really do think that him in space is going to be great. And I think that if they really want him, they can have a fun, you know, chess piece sort of player where they can just sort of move him around, have him play different spots and enjoy it.
Brandon got to catch up with Peyton because he stuck around Dr. Phillips a little longer than I did. I had to make my way over to Jones to see Malik at that time. Talked to him a lot about Florida, although we've done several interviews with Peyton on Florida. So we've got all his thoughts on the coaches, thoughts on the program. So he went a bit more in depth on the rest of his top five as well, which is Oklahoma, Alabama, Michigan State, and Miami. He gives all of these programs a lot of love, even though I said that, you know, I like where Florida stands with him. He does have a lot of respect for these other guys. He's got officials set to four of those top five schools before his commitment date. Interestingly, although he gave, and Brandon included the quote in the story, a lot on Nick Saban, how much he loves the type of coach he is, feels like he fits his character. Alabama is not one of those official visits. He's got Oklahoma June 2nd to 5th, Florida from June 10th to 12th, Michigan State June 17th to 19th, and Miami on June 20th to 22nd before he comes home and thinks about it for a month. He will unofficially visit Bama on June 1st, but at the same time, you know, kind of weird that he's not thinking about that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's telling. To me, it would be almost stunning. And I'm not going to say that this kid's 100% committing to Florida, but it's telling to me that this guy can visit the team almost as if he lives there. Like, he's just like, hey, I'm going to take a trip. And I get it. In the state, you can do that. It's a lot easier, not as costly. I get it. You can have more visits, so you shouldn't read too much into that. But to visit the Gators as often as he has, to praise them as much as he has, especially when what you said last before, you know, it wasn't even a thought on his mind to come to Florida because of the previous staff. He just wasn't interested either. They weren't interested in him too, whatever the case may be. Things have changed. So it would be a shocker almost that if he didn't, you know, at least strong, like, you know, if Florida's not up there in the top couple of teams that you should be looking at, then I'd be surprised. And I think that it is telling that, you know, Alabama is sort of, you know, cast aside, like, oh yeah, I'll take an official or an unofficial, I mean, to Alabama on June 1st. You know, people don't just say that. If they're taking an official to Alabama, they're going to yell it, you know, scream it, you know, to the masses. So I think that that's a positive sign, in my opinion, to Florida and to these other teams, obviously. And I guess we'll just see.
Bryant's in a similar situation. He's got a top five of Florida, Alabama, Miami, USC, and UCF. He's doing an unofficial June 3rd to 4th to Alabama. Then he has three officials, Florida June 10th, USC June 17th, Miami June 27th. Wish he would have done UCF, man. Like, why is he leaving the hometown team out to dry? But I mean, same type of deal. Maybe those three are kind of the not to be named front runners, but out in front kind of. That'll be one to monitor. And then as for LeBlanc, he's still considering his top seven. Doesn't have much set up for OBs, except for, you guessed it, his 1 millionth trip to Florida. Let me pull that date up real quick. I know he's got that, and he's also got Penn State the week after. But otherwise, no official setup. He still wants to set some up. He's just got to kind of figure it out at this point. It's June 10th for Florida, 17th for Penn State. The rest of his top seven is Clemson, Miami, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and UCF. So, like, I don't want to say it.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know how much of a race there is to be run here when it comes to LeBlanc. Like, it's good for Penn State. I don't know if he's been up there much. Maybe he just wants to go up and see Penn State. Maybe he's taking him very seriously. I don't know. But like, that'll be the seventh visit of the spring.
It's a similar deal to Kirkland, obviously less so, but just like in terms of these guys just taking visits to the school, and LeBlanc is probably, you know, the biggest suspect in doing this. It's like, you might as well just have a dorm, just sort of sleep there and maybe commute back to high school at this point. I don't know. I maybe we read a little bit too much into these things, but it just really does point to that direction. It's almost like it'll be a shocker at this point now. To see him commit elsewhere. But like you said, he has a official visit going to Penn State. Obviously, you can't just drive up to Penn State every week or every month. So it's a little bit tougher. So it's going to be interesting to see. But like we said, July 23rd, that's going to be a pretty special day, hopefully.
And like you said at the start of the show, August 1st is when you start worrying about recruiting.
Yes.
If Florida goes 3 of 3, heck, if they go 2 of 3 even on that day and are in a good spot with a guy like Walker – maybe have some commits pile up before that. I don't think a single person will be upset on August 1st when it's time to make some judgments. I truly do. I truly think they're in a good spot. You know, we got time. Schools have time to make their rounds and catch up. But Florida's done a good job this spring, leaving lasting impressions and emerging as what I would call finalists for these guys. I'm excited to see how it happens. Especially now, because right now it's the middle of May and we don't have a ton of stuff to talk about except for the occasional commitment.
All right.
Well, Demetrius, any closing notes from you? Anything you got for the people?
Are we gonna skip over John Walker? I don't think we talked about him.
We did a bit before. I mean, I could get.
Okay. Well, I was trying to lead you into doing this since you broke the news. He's going to be taking an official visit. Duh. He's going to be taking an official visit to Florida soon. He hadn't said that in the past. Zach was able to talk to him and got that out of him. So that's exciting. That's another thing where you're like, okay, another guy wants to take an official to Florida out of nowhere almost. It's clear that to me that this staff has put a priority, especially on this clearly the central part of Florida in terms of developing or getting talent. And it should be an exciting, you know, moment for them if they're able to get, you know, maybe 2 out of 4 or 3 out of 4 of these guys.
As you're well aware of, in your favorite part of the industry, there's so much recruiting news all the time. It's sometimes easy to forget some
Understandable.
Stuff.
Understandable.
Yeah, no. Was able to get that news out last night. Today, I guess. I talked to Walker after his performance. Another guy that really likes what Florida has to offer. Loves Sean Spencer, the defensive line coach. Loves his energy. Loves his coaching style. He just put out a top 7 recently. I don't think he posted it himself, but it was reported. And Florida's in it. He's got officials to 4 of them. And then the last one was kind of up in the air. They weren't sure if it would be Florida or Miami. And he let us know that it's going to end up being Florida, which came to the dismay of many Miami fans. I saw him on the timeline saying he wasn't a take. And I promise you, if you're a Miami fan listening to this right now and you don't think he's a take.
Oh, God.
I don't know what to tell you, man. This kid's a take. Don't know what you're watching.
It's always funny. It's always funny to see the like competing. Even Florida fans do this. Like if another school is all of a sudden the front runner, everyone's like, "Oh, he wasn't a take here anyway." I promise this guy. I mean, just looking at him, he's a take nearly anywhere. You can't just say no, he's not. Based on what, you know,
if he's not a take for Miami, then they don't have any interest in building their defensive line. Sorry, it's just how it is. He's got officials to Ohio State, UCF, Michigan, and USC, as well as Florida. Said he is in really absolutely no rush to make his college decision. I'd imagine it comes into the season, especially because Florida, I mean, that visit and maybe some of the others, he wasn't able to confirm all the dates. He didn't have his phone near him. He had just played an hour and a half of a scrimmage and was tired. He doesn't have them all readily available, but mm-hmm. they're going to extend throughout the summer and into the season. So
yeah. He basically said that, you know, after all of his officials, he's going to make his decision. So, I mean, and that's fine. I think that these kids can make the decisions whenever they want, honestly. Sometimes people put a little bit too much pressure on them, including the programs themselves, understandably in some cases, but you know, other times it's all up to them. If they want to wait until the very last second to make a decision, that's their prerogative.
Yeah. I'm excited to see it, man. I want to go down and see all of these prospects in some games this year. I'd imagine they'll match up with each other at some point, and we will get y'all some good content whenever they do, as well as these camps. We got some exciting stuff probably coming in the pipeline in the next month or two. Just hitting the road, checking some different places, prospects, schools out. Excited to bring it to you. Anything else? Did I miss anything? Did I forget anything else?
You didn't forget anything else. I was trying to lead you into it, but you know, we settled in. We did it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's all that recruiting news, baby.
Yep.
It's the best time of the year, every day of the year.
Yes, absolutely.
As Dan Mullen is well aware of.
Yep. Always recruiting. Always recruiting.
Always be recruiting. ABC. Well, that's just about do it. I want to thank you guys for tuning in, and thank you again to our partner Bet Online. Again, make sure to go check that out. Use our promo code BLEAV at betonline.ag for a 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Once again, I'm Zach Goodall. You can find me on Twitter at Zach_Goodall. All of my written work, video highlights of these guys, et cetera, at allgators.com, as well as this podcast. You know, you're listening to us, you want to keep hearing it, hit subscribe, rate and review on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else you find your podcasts. As for the guy right here next to me, make sure to find Demetrius on Twitter at Demetrius82. You can also find all of his written work with me at allgators.com, as well as Big Cat Country if you are a Jaguars fan. Woo. And want to catch up on rookie minicamp. He had his first session today before we recorded this pod. Demetrius, before we exit, give our listeners a quick glimpse into what you saw.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Jaguar fan, you're going to be excited because football is actually, you know, being played in a way. You know, they're obviously in shorts and t-shirts, but it's always fun to see the guys out there, big guys, especially Trevon Walker, their number one pick. The guy looks insane. I mean, it's going to be incredible. Not to say that he's going to be amazing on the field. He just looks athletically like gifted. It's clear why people love him in terms of his athleticism. So it was a fun day. I think that the Jaguars, you know, got a pretty solid group of rookies. And I think that, you know, as we get going, we'll see what's going to happen with the new staff.
Everyone loves Trevon except the people on the show because he is 2-1 against Florida in his college career. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And we will catch y'all next week.
Later.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel. And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.